taken a couple of days off, which he doesn't usually get to do. So I have the distinct opportunity here, privilege to introduce some people that are going to be giving some testimonies on how the Lord's been working in their lives and their ministries. And I think it's just been a great opportunity. And by the way, the things Kay said about me, she's on drugs. Just it's good to see you, Eddie. And it's
Kay. All the good ones are already taken. The good guys.
And I think it's And I think it's most appropriate to have Mr. Craig come up and start this off with us tonight.
It is good to see you here. It's encouraging. I had my other leg up in ice today, so.
We're
going to put it off for a while. But I'm not even sure where I'm going with this tonight, so bear with me. I didn't write an outline. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why I'm always amazed when God does something amazing, but I found that wrestling with the Word is just probably the most enjoyable and profitable thing I've ever done. And the first thing he did that was amazing to me was I decided that I was going to study the book of Ephesians. Mary and I were going to study the book of Ephesians, and I made copies of the pages in Acts. It talks about Ephesus and all of the books of Ephesians, and even in Revelations where it talks about what happens to it. And I broke it down, and I got very, very calculating in it, and there wasn't any warm and fuzzy. There was no eye-opening revelation. And then Pastor Gary asked me if I'd go through 1 Timothy with the kids. And I know they're not really kids, they're young adults. But so I put Ephesians down, and then I picked up the book of 1 Timothy. I'm reading in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, and he says, I didn't underline it, I apologize. Anyhow, Timothy is in Ephesus. So therefore, knowing where Ephesus was essential for me to going into 1 Timothy. And I go, oh, that's what God was after, you know. And so I think it might even be safe to say that we don't, as much as we think we're figuring out where we're going and what we're studying, we're not. God is sovereign, and he's directing our paths, even when we think we're doing it. And so that's why I say I don't want to act of surprise when he does something amazing. But Timothy is one of those books that I always shied away from. If I had to go through the Bible, I would read it, and I'd read it relatively quickly. And as much as I hate to stand up and say, it's a very convicting book to me, because I can read it, and I go, I understand it. I'm not qualified. I accept that. Quit reminding me. You know, there's a lot of things that I'm not qualified and probably never will be. And just so you don't think there's any, an example is prudent. Leaders are prudent men. I am not prudent. I guarantee you, there's $5 in my pocket, I'm going to spend it. If I'm out of town and I've only got $5, I got 1,000 miles to come by back home, and I go buy a Starbucks, I'm buying a cold Frappuccino. I'm not prudent. I'm not saying I couldn't be someday, but as it stands right now, I'm just not a prudent man. And there's a lot of things in there that convict me. And then I would see it as a book of do's and don'ts. Like, how do I need do's and don'ts? I mean, if no one can be good enough to get in heaven or bad enough to go to hell, why do I need do's and don'ts? And of course, the quick answer is because God prefers obedience to sacrifice, and we show we're his by following his commandments. And I'm not trying to make it an argument for that, but I just didn't get it. And so in an attempt to get the kids to look at it a different way, and the first thing I said, 2 Timothy is exactly what it looks like. It's an epistle from Paul to Timothy about how to conduct yourself in the church, because it says that's what it is, and that's what it is. But I tried to look at it as a building. They're building the household of God, and this is a book about building the household, because if you look at everything Paul did, it's about building the church. Wherever you go, Paul's talking about building the church. Christ crucified. I love when he says, do you know anything? He says, well, I know Jesus crucified, because it's about building the church, and so that's what he's about, and so that's what the book's about. So I was looking at it as a building, and we talked about how everything has to be level, and corners have to be square, and walls have to be plumb, and I said, but our goal in instruction is love from a pure heart, Things have to be level, good conscience, corners have to be square, and a sincere faith. Things have to be plumb. So we work that through the book. And the first thing that really hit me about the book was in the fourth chapter, he talks about, in pointing these things out to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the word of faith and of sound doctrine, which you have been following. And the part about constantly nourished was such a help to me, because I found when I got aggravated at things in the past, I go, okay, I'm doing this for myself, or I'm doing this to impress somebody else. I'm not doing it for God. If I'm doing it for God, I don't get aggravated. But then take it even farther. If you're doing something and you're being nourished, if it's nourishing you, then you're probably doing it for the right reasons. If it's aggravating you and you're getting burned out, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And so that was helpful. But sticking with the building theme, when you get to the end of it, Paul instructs them in the sixth chapter in 18. He says, instruct them to do good work and be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up from themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And it really cemented the chapter together to me. It's not about, okay, you're not qualified. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about building your foundation. That's what we're doing. We're building a foundation. It says for the future. You know, I mean, I could be wrong, and it could be about a foundation to get us through this life, and if that's all it is, that's great. But I believe it's just like it says, for the future. And we're building a foundation. I have no clue about the end times. I understand them briefly, but I know God's not spending this much time and effort training us and getting us ready to do nothing, you know. I know we cease from labors, but I don't think we're going to do nothing. And so we're building a foundation. And so it was really helpful to me to see the Timothy as a book that I never imagined it was. It is a letter from Paul to Timothy. It has got a lot of do's and don'ts, and it is a lot about conduct, but it's about building a foundation for us to build upon. And we're building the household of God. And so wrestling with Timothy like that has been a real, real blessing to me to get through. And it, as I said earlier, it's amazing to me that God knows where we're studying, what we think we're studying, even though, especially when we think we're in charge and have things amazed. I'm constantly amazed when I go out to the prison and it's an hour and a half ride out there. I go, man, there's no way I've got anything to share with these guys. You know, I mean, and I've got a pretty callous attitude sometimes. I'm going, they need to be here. I'm sorry. See, I'm kind of callous. But, you know, and I'm thinking, there's no way God's going to use me. There's just no way. I don't know what these guys are going through. And the time I was sharing with about giants, where's Kim? The time I was sharing about giants, I go out there, and the guy's telling me about this one guard that was terrible and another prisoner terrible, and his wife hadn't called him in 5 months. And, you know, and I'm thinking, I don't know. And I thought, guy's dealing with some serious giants. I know giants. You know, so again, it was a chance for God to show me that he really does know he's in control and really does know what we're doing. And wrestling with the word of God, it's been the most valuable time I've ever spent. And thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Craig. It's really great to hear how the Lord works in different people in different ways. And every one of us is a part of the body in a different thing, doing different ministries, and see how different people are growing in the Lord. It's just super. And Kim Fair has been working with iLab, and she's been doing all kinds of stuff. She's been really busy and had several people from the church helping her out. Just looking forward to hearing what you have to say, Kim.
Well, first I want to just say how happy I am to be in this body of believers, to have the pastor that we do, his wife, and how the body of Christ is so important to me. We all have different roles to play, and we support and encourage each other in so many ways. And you've all been part of my growth. And I know that starts with the Lord and his plans and our willingness to go his way. I really am blessed to have the current job that I do have. I've been in this job, it'll be 3 years next month, and I'm one of the people that are very fortunate enough to actually be working in the field that they were trained for. And but I did have a 20 years off there, and I really never thought I'd be returning to the field. If we haven't had a chance to discuss this, or you've come to the church kind of recently, I work for Independent Living for Adult Blind. I work with adults and high school students, and we are a rehab or vision rehabilitation center helping people to adjust to a vision loss. Some are from birth, some are late onsets in life, and some are progressive conditions that come on. When I first started this job, I was just so pleased to come back to this field. It was something that I really enjoyed doing. I felt I was good at, and I thought, you know, people could benefit from this. It was a win-win situation all the way around. And getting the job took on a life force of its own. I had looked for a job like this in this area. Didn't know about this organization, but basically just wasn't the right time, or it was a part-time position and I needed a full-time job, blah, 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 blah. And so I applied for this job. One thing happened after another. It just rolled along, and I found out after I got in place there were many other people that had been interested, but the Lord preserved that position for me. And just wonderful, wonderful things happened. I got in the position, and they told me that there probably wouldn't be any increases for over a year. And my first paycheck, I saw a first bump. The legislature had put through a raise. So actually, my position got raised before I even came on board. So God is good. I was driving to work. I enjoyed the drive to work. I go over the Hart Bridge, and the city was there. And I used to be just so touched that the Lord made this all possible. And I was talking to Pastor Gary once, and to tell you the truth, it's hard for me to admit, but part of me was, he's gonna take it away. You know, it's so good. But I was kind of preparing myself, but you know, just kind of, whatever the Lord wants. This is great if it's for a day, or if it's for a year, if it's for a lifetime. It was just almost too hard for me to believe that this could be the job that I have when I finish my professional career. And I was talking to Pastor Gary, and he says, but don't you see the Lord has met the desires of your heart in this job? And it just melted my heart and kind of put the focus on where it should be. And over the years, I thought, well, yeah, this is my ministry. And right now, to tell you the truth, I'm realizing it more and more, and I'm also, with what he's been doing, I realize I haven't got a clue, but he will keep revealing things to me. When I first went to work, again, I thought, you know, I'd be a good worker. I know how to do this, and I got to do some really fun stuff. And got to minister to some people, got to tell people about Jesus Christ, was looking for opportunities to do so there, and even talked with Pastor, and we were going to do a Bible study for the kids, and well, it didn't work out, and that was fine, because the Lord gave me a peace about that, that there might be another time. But all along, he's opened my eyes more to, it's not me, it's him. It's not me, it's him. Whatever I'm able to do, it's for him. And the more I acknowledge that and trust him, no matter what the circumstances, I'm actually the one that's benefiting from this ministry, and it truly is becoming a ministry. Just recently, in this past year, in February, I went to a conference in Orlando with other people around the state that do the same things with the high school students that I do. And at first I didn't like what I heard. This one program in Orlando, well, they called themselves workaholics. I've been there, done that, I don't want to do that. They meet every other Saturday with the kids during the school year. don't know if I really want to go there, you know, give that time. And then, let me see what else. They went away. They asked us to our group to join them, and it was on Easter to go to Six Flags, and I just knew that wasn't for me. And also, it was vacation, and that's important for the students and the staff. So I had a lot of, you know, okay, we operate differently. We've got a different mindset, the staff up here and the staff down there. But when I heard about their program, the Lord just, you know, really directed me, this is the way, you know, you should be considering this. I don't make the big decisions at work, but this would be very good for your kids, for your program. And again, I just prayed about it. I didn't know how my boss would receive the news, and it would be basically a little bit kind of directing in a way where I hadn't been asked to direct. And you know, and I want to be very honorable with my relationship with my boss. And then I went to another meeting for my boss that was directors of other agencies. And the Lord was just making it clear that these are the best practices and we are going to be accountable for this, and that I really did need to tell my boss that we should be considering, you know, something like this. And I really got excited about it. I didn't know how it was going to work with all the additional time, how that would translate to our program. You know, it's different size groups. We're getting to that place. We're slightly behind Orlando in terms of numbers of staff and students. And we'd been doing an excellent program, but we were going to have to do something more for the kids that have been in the program a long time. They'll be in it a few more years. And well, my boss thought this was a good idea. And so I went down there to see their program. And again, it was really, I was down there for 3 weeks, went away with four teenagers and stayed in a hotel with them. I was, you know, had to make sure they're okay, and praise the Lord, the kids behaved themselves. And but during this whole time, I saw how their program was working. And the Lord started changing my heart to an unwilling, how is this going to work? You know, I don't really want to work so many Saturdays. I already work one Saturday a month. And he just softened my heart and changed my heart and saw that what a benefit this would be for the kids. And the Lord also placed me down there with the director of the program, who's very strong in the faith. And so she was a mentor in a lot of ways, just spiritually and also with the teens. I didn't raise teens, so this is a big stretch for me. My experience with teens are our lovely children here. And then the kids that I meet with, you know, I see them either summer to summer or sometimes during the school year. And finally now, I see the benefit. They're growing, they're maturing. It's not of me, it's just God's natural process in the way of things. But this whole process has made me want for the kids and care less about myself. Very humbling experience while I was in Orlando, one of our students I had to talk to. And I was a bit hard, and rightfully so in the area. But I realized she was more upset than I thought that she would be. And I realized I did not speak out of love. I was frustrated and I was upset with her. And went to church that Sunday. It happened on a Saturday, that Sunday. And they were talking about Jonah and repentance. And I just couldn't wait to get back, because I needed to take care of this with this girl. And it's changed our relationship. And it just tenderized my heart so much to the kids, and how I'm used to teaching subjects and not teenagers, and you know, sometimes you fail to see the difference there. And so he's been working on my heart on that. And he's just changing my way of thinking, looking at things, my patience, and there's still a lot of work to do. But I realized that as much as I thought I'm helping these kids, it's these kids in these programs that are really helping me to be more Christ-like in the end, well, through the Lord. But I'm just so glad we have this opportunity, and I get to share it this summer with so many people here at the church, and that encourages me that others have come to me and said how touched they've been by, you know, this child or that child, or, you know, just some sort of aspect of, you know, they're getting something out of it. And I just have to praise the Lord because He's the one in control. And that song that we last sang, He knows my name. He knew me from the start. And He planted this desire for this job in my heart before the beginning of time. Does anybody remember, these are the older folks, Weekly Reader, Junior Scholastic? Okay. Every couple times a year, maybe, just before summer, I think, was one of the times, you get a little flyer and you get to buy these paperback books for a dime or maybe a quarter, maybe 50 cents if it was really expensive. And I got this one book called My Dog Mike. And I read it over the summer. And it was about a young boy who had a firecracker accident and lost his sight in his rehabilitation process. And I remember that summer, and it was fifth grade, or going into fifth grade. I was trying to, with little pieces of wood and little bitty nails, trying to build a little Braille writer. So this is something that it's just always been interesting to me. And so it's not difficult for me to work with these kids. And as a matter of fact, I was talking with Steve last night, just telling him, you know, our different staff members and even our volunteers, how we all have something different to bring to it. And sometimes I literally forget our kids are blind. And a coworker said, well, someone should sit with the kids. We went to the dinner theater and, you know, with the totally blind kids and tell them what's going on. Didn't occur to me. I got there. We got them seated. And I thought, okay, we're going to kick back. I sometimes do forget they're blind. But that's a blessing, too, in some ways. But I just want the Lord to be glorified. And I'm glad He's opening up my eyes. And He's giving me more opportunities to speak to the kids than I could have ever planned. So I just want to give all the glory to God for all of our ministries and what He does for us and in us as we minister to others. Only He could figure out some way to do that.
Thank you, Kim. You can see how the Lord's working. Isn't it great? It's good to be praised. You know, Steve tells us every now and then about different people that he comes in contact with. He may say something about it later tonight, but different people like taxi drivers and just people that he gets to minister to, and it's pretty incredible deal. And the number of people from this church that are actually participating in that is kind of cool too. Well, next we're going to get to hear from Josh Lindsay. And I know we've seen all kinds of things going on in his life. Let's see what's happening to you.
Okay. We started out doing this study, I believe it was last February, and we started a study on the young adults in the Old Testament and their main characteristic traits that point to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I first off have to say that I am so thankful also for the body that God has placed me in. The patience that y'all have had with me. You know, I remember growing up and, you know, the only one that ever acted like they believed in me was my mother. And that we grew very close, had a very close relationship growing up. And then I come to know the Lord. And that put a wedge in between mine and my mom's relationship. She wasn't walking with the Lord at that time. Since then, she's rededicated her life to the Lord, and she's just doing great. And so during those times, I got to watch how the Lord, He separated me and Michelle from our families. But that ultimately, during that time, that grew us closer with this family. And I tell you, it was almost like the hand of God separating me and Michelle from our families and intertwining us into our church body. And that only God can do that in such a way and then turn us back over and to let us minister to them in the right way. It was just an amazing thing to watch this happen. As I look back now, I see how this has happened. And, I know when I first came to the Lord, I had a lot of struggles. You guys all know this. And then something happened, and I remember Dale Smith, she says, Josh, every time those doors open, you need to be there. And so January of 07 is when I said, okay, so Lord, every time those doors open, I want to be there at the church. And that's something that I tried to do. And through that, the Lord just started just changing my heart. Up to last year, I wanted to open a plumbing business. Next thing you know, I'm telling Gary, I think I want to preach God's word. And so I don't know how it all happened. I just know that I'm thankful that this church gave me the opportunity to start teaching the young adults class. You're talking about green. I tell you, I look back now, I'm going, I was green. And that means rookie class. You know, I didn't know no church, no scripture. But I guess at this point in time, I had learned, you know, they didn't just put me in there, you know, like that. But anyhow, so we started going through this book. We started going through the different books, and Gary took me into Ruth. And at first, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so we're going through Ruth, and I'm going, wow, you know, this, okay, but how am I supposed to relate to this lady? And we go through Ruth, and I got to tell you, for the first couple months, they were very hard for me. I said, but Lord, this is you. It's not about me. And so we kept going through there, and Gary would walk me through these things, and I would see Ruth's character's trait and loyalty. But how? It wasn't so much Ruth that I was grabbing hold of as it was Boaz. Boaz taught me how to open doors again. He taught me how to open a door for my wife. Boaz taught me that it was okay to be a strong, godly man, that I didn't have to compromise with the things of the world, that I didn't have to go around acting like a man of the world, but that I could be a strong, godly man, valiant, and stand for the things of God, and not have to worry about compromising with this world, not being scared to use the name of Jesus Christ. I see so many brothers of mine, especially with those that I work with, they're Christians, but they're closet Christians, because they're compromising. They're afraid of what other people are going to think. But I said, man, Boaz taught me. He went and called 10 elders of the city. Them 10 elders of the city came. You know? He said he was going to do something. He did it. And for me, for a long time, you know, sticking to what you're going to say, I tell you, you're not careful. These things happen. You don't want to do it. But in human nature, when you do it in your own power, you fail every time. But Boaz taught me how to be a gentleman. So then we go through the book of Daniel. And this book, Daniel, just lit me on fire. Chapter 1, verse 8, he made up his mind he would not defile himself with the king's choice meat and wine. So he went and sought the commanders of the officials so that he might not defile himself. And verse 9, God granted Daniel favor. This lit me up at this point. I knew at that point in time, that's when I said, wow, rated R movies. Man, the language, these movies that I sit here and willingly watch for entertainment. I said, I can't do this no more. I can't do it. The Spirit of Christ within me will not let me do it. I tell you. And then there came a point in time where I sat down and I watched Transformers 2. I was so convicted by the time I got done watching that movie. I said, I compromised. I defiled myself. Because of the language in this movie. But I did it because I wanted to see this movie. I said, I can't do these things no more. I can't. And this was a big hurdle for me. Music, movies, being around certain people that talk in certain ways. These were things that I learned in my heart. This wasn't a scholastic. It's not something that you sit down and you go, okay, we don't have a textbook for this. These are things that, I tell you, the more I go into God's Word for this class, it's grown me leaps and bounds I say, Lord, I see what you're looking for. You know, but Daniel also taught me that even if your life depended upon it, you cannot compromise on the things of God. It taught me that to stand firm in my faith. Do you say no on Sundays? No, I can't. I trust you, Lord. You'll provide. I cannot. You know? And different times in your life, you have to take these stands. But that I have to trust the Lord, even if it means going into the fire. It's not that God takes us around the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 3, but that he takes us through the fire, through these trials. And I'll tell you, it makes me think of the giants. And so that at that point in time, this was my giants going through the fire. Then we go into the book of Esther. And here again, I love Esther, but I tell you, I was drawn to Mordecai. Y'all go through the book of Esther, I see the submissiveness of Esther, but it taught me that men should be submissive as well. Respect and honor authority. My spiritual counsel, to make sure my attitude is right when I respond to my boss. But also, it taught me to be more submissive to my wife, to think of her needs. The same as Boaz, but in this way, this was a different, my family, my children. I tell you, the patience that I learned going through Esther to where I knew that my attitude had to change with my children. They could not see that quick-tempered young man that I used to be. This was very, very big in my life. And then we go into Jonathan. And I tell you, Jonathan, we got to the last paragraph of Jonathan, the very last relationship of Jonathan and David, the last conversation they have. And his character, okay, Esther was submissiveness, Daniel uncompromising, Ruth loyalty. Jonathan was chivalry, the very act of valiant behavior. But the one thing that I noticed about Jonathan more than anything else was that he was a selfless protector. But that he was willing to set aside his kingdom, his agenda, for the greater good of God's kingdom. To see this young man take what in human eyes is rightfully his and to willingly give it up so that God would be glorified, to me was very convicting. It just really made me think of my relationship with Michelle again, you know, with my kids. That it's not about me, that it's always about Jesus Christ. It's always about trying to point to him. And these are things that I went through with Jonathan. And now we've come to David. And this was one that was very tender to my heart just this past week, studying Saturday and going through this and really seeing it. It's when David's first introduced in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And in verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? Samuel has to ask. This is sad to me. He has to ask him. They're having dinner. They've been clean, consecrated. They're dressed up. And Samuel has to ask. He's left his son in the field. They're eating a good meal. And behold, he is tending the are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. This touched my heart in such a way that I just cried. And that you see that God sees the heart, but that he also tells Samuel in verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. If it was not for God, Samuel would have been ready crown King Eliab. But that wasn't the case. God said, no. Here's a young man that's been overlooked his whole life. He's been put out of the pasture. And for me to be able to relate to David, your whole life, man. For the guy that's been looked over, his father's left him. Your whole life you look just to be accepted. You know, and in return, you go down these wrong roads because you're not grounded in Christ. But to know that God seen me sitting on that porch when I was 3 years old. God seen me when I was getting in trouble. But God placed a heart in me that wanted to take care of the sheep. God seen that heart, and I tell you, at one point in time when I was broken at this point, I just, somewhere in my mind, when I was a little kid, I always wanted to help people. But this world takes away, and Satan has a way of taking that and crushing it. But that God reached down when I was broken and he molded that heart back together. And I'm so thankful that God seen me and picked me up and that he rescued me and that he said, go get him. And I'm so thankful that God came and got me. But to know for the young man that's been looked over, that's been passed away, has had to deal with everybody his whole life telling him, you're not going to be nothing. You made all the wrong decisions. God sees the heart. And so I'm very thankful that he does. Because if it was up to man, we'd be looked over, passed by the wayside. But Jesus Christ has rescued us. And that he elevates his beloved. And that as long as we stay true to his commandments and his word, he's just going to keep working our lives and blessing us every day. So, these things, this study has taught me. I tell you, at first it was hard for me to do topical. I had no idea how to even start, how to start it. But the Spirit of God just touches our hearts in different ways. I tell you, I've learned so much. He's taught me how to be a young man, a man that wants to fulfill his commandments. The Spirit of God teaches our hearts, guides and directs us, and I'm just so thankful that he touched my heart. I tell you, I just told Michelle how thankful I was for her. And I'm thankful for this church body and all the patience and the encouragement that you guys give us. Thank you.
Yeah, David wanted to please Saul, and all he ever got was a spear chunked at him, you know? I got to relate back to that when you first started teaching. When I first started teaching, we were over on San Pablo Road at the Isle of Faith Church. And Pastor Gary put me in with Josh Elliott, Jessica Elliott, Sean Simon,
Michelle,
and Tina. That's my class. It was a tough one. Well, next we're going to get to hear from Steve and Shirley about how the Lord's been working with you in your life, in your studies. And
should we come separate?
Either way, however you want to do it.
More surprised than I am that I'm standing up here. I'll tell you, it's kind of like feet in the fire. The Lord's been working in my life in such a unique way, not a unique way, but for me, a new way. I've been doing a study with Connie in John. And we were in chapter 13, and Jesus is at the Last Supper, and he's giving the morsels, dipping the bread in the wine. And he says, the one who will betray me will receive the next morsel. And he dips the morsel and he gives it to Judas. And then he just carries on as if that's really no big deal. And we chatted about it as we studied and talked, but when I, in the weeks that followed, we didn't meet, and it gave me a lot of time to reflect on that. That just one little word and that one little vignette. And I thought, I wonder how he did that. You know, how did he do that? How did he just, like, not have it matter? So, I had prayed for 3 years now. And it's just perfect how God times everything because, and the way he does things. So, and I know some of you were in that class that summer. The first summer that I became a Christian, we met here at the church. And your sister came. Michelle was there. Jessica was there. Tina was there. We had quite a good group. Ruth was there. And I think I was the newest Christian. I know I was. And I made the comment that I prayed that God would reveal my sins to me. And everyone thought that was hilarious. And not knowing anything better than that, I didn't understand the hilarity. But I was truly, that was the truth. Because our hearts are deceitful. And as far as I knew, I was okay. You know, I think I'm a pretty good person. That's what I thought. You know, and the first time I heard that we're born in sin, I went, what? I don't understand that. But anyway, so I not only prayed that prayer then, but I continued to pray that prayer. And I asked the Lord to reveal my sins to me. And so 3 years with a lot of patience on his part and waiting for the right moment because his timing is perfect. It was in that verse. And what I realized was the reason that Jesus was able to do that is because he had no sin. That changes everything. And he could carry on as he always had in perfect harmony with the Lord, with God, his Father, and do what he had to do, what he was commanded to do. And Judas, God would take care of him. And I went, well, how am I different? And it was just the most gentle reprimand I've ever received. Wretch that I was. And the Lord revealed to me my sins that I had carried from a betrayal and thought that I had forgiven or thought that I had gone on or thought that I had let go. And no, the betrayal brought sorrow and grief, brought anger. And that's normal. And that that's up there, and you say, oh, forgive me for that. But what the hidden sin of what was carried on after that by me, not by the one who had betrayed, but by me, became just crystal clear. Crystal clear. And I went, oh my. So I've been in a lot of prayer of repentance and seeking forgiveness. And the Lord has blessed me with that. So with that burden, off, which I didn't even know I was carrying. Am I taller? I think I've grown. But that burden is gone, and I didn't even know I carried it. I tell you, I was just blown away. My heart is just leaping with joy. And so I let it leap in silence for quite a while before I said anything to anyone. And I finally was able to talk to Connie. And the first thing I said to her is, I am so grateful that you did not tell me what I have found out, or that Pastor Gary didn't, or that my husband didn't, or that a good friend didn't, because I couldn't have bared it. But the Lord did it in such a way that it made me stronger and better. So I told Connie, and we talked, and I said, you know, I've been being fed now since my mother, well, all last summer I was gone a lot with my mother's illness, and then she passed away, and I kind of pulled back and said, you know, I just need to get my act back together, whatever that act is. And but I said, Connie, I think I want to serve. I'm ready. You know, just put me where you need me. I'd already told Sonny I'd clean, because I can clean. And I had worked in the nursery before, and I said, I will work in the nursery. I'm happy to do that. And I said, and if you need a teacher, just put me wherever you need me. And I'm thinking, you know, the little ones or whatever. So the next time I saw Connie, she said, you know, Pastor Gary thinks it would be a good idea if you would teach a Bible study for the young women. Really? Really? So anyway, that's why I'm standing here. The Lord has moved in my life and in my heart, and in the Spirit of the Lord is with me and reveals things to me that I am grateful for and I am open to. We'll be studying Corinthians, and I'm not very well versed in it yet. I think as I go, I will become more so. But the thing that has struck me the most is Paul's love for Jesus Christ and Christ crucified. And that's his whole mission. And everything that he teaches points to that, and points to how we should be so grateful. And our conduct and our hearts and our relationships and everything should remember always Christ crucified. And he is a marvelous role model and a marvelous teacher. And I know that with the help of Connie and Pastor Gary and other people here I'll probably call on, that this will be an exciting time, and I look forward to working with the younger women, and hope that some of the gaps that were left in my life I might help to fill in their lives before they're my age. So I just thank you all for your encouragement and your support, and I just love this body, and I don't know what I'd do without it.
I don't know how I can top that. You know, the upside to being in a small church is that everybody knows everything you're doing all the time.
That's the upside.
That's the upside.
Okay, not kidding.
But the downside is you already know a lot about what I'm going to tell you, but you're going to have to hear it again. Early this year, I'll take you back to about April of last year, we found out my mom had dementia. And, you know, it was one of those things you kind of thought it just happened. But in hindsight, you know, we look at all the things that had happened over a number of years, and we realize that she had dementia for quite a while. I went to some support group meetings at Mayo, and they said that by the time a person is the diagnosis of dementia, they've had it 3 to 5 years. And Shirley and I have gone back, you know, those 3 to 5 years and looked at various things that happened. We know Mom was sick for a long time. So unfortunately, probably fortunately for her, once we knew it was a burden that was lifted off of her, she could just be sick. She didn't have to hide anymore. And we had to find a facility for her, and it was a tough process. She was at two different places before we finally found where she is now. That's a place that specializes in Alzheimer's and dementia care. We moved Mom thankfully with the help of some of the men in the church. We moved Mom this past July of last year on my birthday to her new facility. And it was early this year, I was going to see her, and Shirley and I would, you know, every once in a while we'd walk in with our Bibles, and you know, the Mom was more able to understand what was going on, and we would share scripture with her. Well, I went one day, and we had a new activities director, and they have to key you in to the building, and she opened the door for me, and she said, I need a favor from you. And, you know, and I said, sure, what can I do to help you? And she said, I need to find someone that could do a Bible study for the people here. You know, many of them have grown up in churches, and now they can't go anymore, and their families can't take them. And could you just help me find someone? And I said, sure, I'll be glad to. Well, early in 2010, I got sick. And I wasn't here for a number of weeks. And Pastor Gary and I had been meeting every week, and so we didn't get to meet. And it was a couple of months, 2 or 3 months went by that we didn't get to meet. And the next time that we were together, I related the story about the activities director. I said, maybe you could help me find somebody. And he just got that grin. You've seen that grin. You know the grin I'm talking about? And as soon as he smiled, I knew what he was going to say. You know, and he just said, you know who's got to teach that course, don't you? And I said, yeah, I know. It's me. I said, I knew you'd say that. So we chatted a little bit about it, and a couple of weeks went by, and we chatted some more about it. And I said, you know, and I said, Pastor Gary, I just really don't know what I'm going to teach. You know, I said, just looking at my own mom, I said, she can't focus on anything. She can't read anything. I mean, they're not going to have Bibles that they're going to be able to look at. I mean, they don't make a large print Bible big enough. I mean, Craig and I have the biggest large print that they make, and they just don't make it any bigger than that. And I said, you know, and gosh, Pastor Gary, I think some of these people even might be Jewish. You know, what am I going to do? And he just looked at me and he said, stop trying to psych them out. You know, why don't you just go and do it? You know, stop trying to think about what they're going to say or what they're going to do or what, you know, what you're going to say. Just let the Holy Spirit move you. I said, okay. And we let a little more time go by. And then I went to him and I said, but what am I going to teach? And he said, I had to tell you a story. He said, when I was going to school out in California, we had to do some work in a psychiatric hospital. There was a guy over in the corner, and someone would just go in and read the Psalms to him. That's all they did. They just read the Psalms. Didn't ask for any feedback, just read the Psalms. And he said, I went back in there one day, and he was gone. And I went to the leadership there, and I said, what happened to the guy in the corner? He said he got well. He's gone. And he said, and that's what you need to do with the people at Clare Bridge. Just go read the Psalms to them. You know, there's a lot of healing in the Psalms. There's there's a lot of things that they'll remember in the Psalms. You know, one of the things I'm now realizing, I'm so thankful for this church and the emphasis that they put on the little kids. You know, my mom can remember her address where she grew up. She can't tell you what she had for lunch 2 minutes ago, but she can remember, you know, she remembers old Bible verses. She remembers Sunday school songs. So I'm just so thankful that, you know, we're getting these little kids to know the Lord now, because, you know, when you get to be 85, 90 years old, you're not going to remember how much money you made or what kind of car you drove or the last place that you worked. Mom can't, I mean, Mom had a lot of great jobs and a lot of great experiences, but she can't remember any of those things anymore. But she remembers the Lord. And it's really been an experience to go there. I mean, these people, many of them are nonverbal. They don't talk. They just sit in the chair all day long, you know, with their head down. But when we go, when I go to do the Bible study, we do a Sunday school song. We do an old hymn. I do a reading. We do another old hymn, and then we do another Sunday school song. And these nonverbal people all of a sudden are singing. Perfect voice, Sonny. I mean, you need choir members. I got them for you. I mean, it's just the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I had one woman come up to me the other day, and you know, one of the things that I struggled with that I shared with Pastor Gary was, you know, the church that I grew up in never made me understand that the Old and New Testament were really together. I mean, that they were connected. You know, the Old Testament was that, and the New Testament was that, and there was nothing that connected them. And I said, Pastor Gary, I don't know how I'm, you know, what else I'm supposed to do? And he said, well, everything you do needs to point to Jesus Christ. And he said, and we're going to have to figure out how to connect that, aren't we? So that's one of the things that I'm working through with the people at Clare Bridge. But this Thursday a couple of weeks ago, I was there, and I don't remember what psalm I had read, but it allowed me to connect some Testament, or some New Testament to it. And I do a thing at the very end. When I'm totally finished, I go around and I pick up the song sheets. I try to make the song, the type on the song sheet big enough that they might be able to read. But I go and I pick them up. And, you know, and some of them want to keep them. They're kind of hoarders, and they want to keep your song sheets. Others will give them back to you readily. But I make a point of going and touching every single person and just letting them know how much I appreciate them. And there was a little lady over here, and you know, Dave was talking about it earlier. There are certain people that we experience in our daily moving around that we go, not really sure I want to be around that person. And she kind of looks that way. You know, she faces a little, you know, she's got some skin problems, and she's, you know, she's just not the most appealing person. But I saw her in the corner of my eye, and I'm picking up, and she got up out of her chair. She made a special point to come over to me, and she said, I love Jesus. And we hugged. And you know, and it's kind of interesting. They don't remember what they had for lunch, but I see this, I can see it now. There's this recognition when I'm there seeing Mom, or you know, when I'm not doing the Bible study, there's this recognition. They're kind of looking at you going, know you from somewhere. I know you from somewhere. And it's just, it's very moving. My ministry at Clare Bridge, I'm convinced now it's not about my mom. It's about all those other people that have, you know, they're unchurched. I'm probably not going to convert anybody at this age, you know, at their age. We'll tell you an interesting story. There's a Jewish guy I found. There's one Jewish guy. And That's one thing he can remember, is that he doesn't want to hear about Jesus Christ. The one thing. So he sees me walk in, and I got my Bible, and I got my little CD player, and my CDs, and Teddy says, I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here. So they'll get him up, and they'll take him to another room. Last Thursday I was there. They went in to get him. Teddy, we're going to do some Bible reading. They're going to be talking about Jesus Christ. You ready to go to the TV room? He said, I think I'll stay. I think I'll stay. So who knows, you know? But I will share real quick. I don't have the boldness of my friend Josh or Kim. I'm just blown away. I fortunately get to work 5 weeks this summer with iLab, and just watching her boldness with these kids. I mean, we get in a taxi and she's talking about Jesus Christ, and you know, and the taxi driver's going, yeah. and it's just, you know, it's so refreshing. And you know, and I don't have the knowledge that you know Don does or Ray does about the Bible. You know, it's just you know, I'm just not there yet. But I know that the Spirit is what's keeping me going, and I'm just so thankful for that, and I'm so thankful for this church.
Well, praise the Lord, we've heard some good testimonies, and I think we can see that Christ loves us in what we've seen tonight, because we've actually seen the Spirit of Jesus Christ, of how He works in people's lives and what He does for others. That Spirit is not about us, it's about what we do with it to help others and to bring them to Jesus Christ. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you all for what you had to say. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you give us to present your truth, and that's Christ crucified. We thank you for the opportunities to show your love to others. And Lord, that you would even use us. So many times we think we're doing something and we realize it's nothing we're doing, it's you. Lord, I pray for your blessings on each and every one of these people here. Thank you for your church body, Lord. Lord, we see your loving kindness is everlasting. We just want to give you praise and tell you that we love you. In Jesus' name.